Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Protecting the right to organize. New polling numbers, and it's pretty good for organized labor. Rich Trumka pushing OSHA to protect all workers from COVID-19. And today on the show, the Nation on working women and the North Coast Labor Federation on voter suppression, Social Security, and a way to a pro-worker Senate. Welcome to the Thursday, June 17th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. A lot of ways you can access this show, America's Workforce. Out there since 1993, going strong, thanks to all of our supporters and our sponsors. Mindy Iser is going to be our first guest on the show, and she is one of the contributing writers to The Nation magazine. We always do this segment on the third Thursday of each and every month. Mindy is a union organizer out of Philadelphia and, like I said, a contributor to The Nation magazine. Her latest piece is Working Women Need the PRO Act. Speaking of which, I've got some interesting polling numbers on that piece of legislation. This story starts off with a woman by the name of Jeannie D'Angelo. A freelance illustrator had a job interview at the Comcast headquarters in Philadelphia. This is 13 years ago. The manager who interviewed her, who was employed by Comcast, told her she got the job. Then she was sent to a temp agency to fill out her paperwork. Like a lot of workers, Jeannie had been a temp before, and many of those jobs had been temp to hire. She figured, okay, I'll start as a temp and eventually get hired. Well, she was a temp for 4 years. Yeah, for 4 years. And after that, she said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And she says that most other workers in her department, primarily women, were also temporary. And they were working full time. There's a problem there. That's called worker misclassification. And we're going to get into what they call the ABC test. What's the ABC test? Well, this goes back years. In a nutshell, the test stipulates that a worker must be considered an employee and not an independent contractor unless the employer can satisfy three conditions. What are those three? The worker is free from control of the company. Number two, the worker is performing work that is outside the company's usual course of business. And number three, the worker has their own business that provides a similar service to other clients. Well, that's the test. And quite obviously, Comcast flunked that test. Now, there's a lot of women in America that like being independent contractors. And Mindy's going to talk about that. They're saying, well, it gives them flexibility. Gives them freedom. They don't have to listen to a boss. I get that. But then again, in the case of Jeannie D'Angelo, she was clearly taken advantage of. This is going to be fun to talk about. And we'll weave in the PRO Act. Davida Russell will be joining us to do our segment with the North Coast Area Labor Federation, which usually goes to Pat Gallagher, but he's at the Steelworkers Convention out in Las Vegas, I believe, right now. DavidaForCH.com. You got to check out that website, DavidaForCH. CH stands for Cleveland Heights. Cleveland Heights is a suburb just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And this is a woman, I don't know when she sleeps. She is state president of CLU. That's a coalition of labor union women, vice president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, state board member and president of the Northeast Ohio District of OAPSE. That's the Ohio Association of Public School Employees. She's a substitute teacher and a bus driver for the South Euclid Lyndhurst School District. Had that job for many, many years. Executive Secretary Treasurer of the North Coast Area Labor Federation, trustee of the North Shore Federation of Labor, She attended the George Meany National Labor College. She even wrote a play, a union play, titled, "We May Be Getting Old, But We Ain't Dead Yet." Love DeVita. She is going to talk about, well, a number of things. First off, the Ohio AFL-CIO has already endorsed a candidate to replace Rob Portman, who announced earlier this year that he's not running for re-election next year. And that candidate is Tim Ryan. Tim Berge is quoted in the release, "We are proud to announce the endorsement of Tim to be our next senator. Tim has spent his career fighting for working people in Ohio, and we know he will continue that work in the Senate." He's a pro-union guy on the side of workers, there's no question. We'll also talk about Social Security. If you work for the government, you get a different pension than you work in private industry. Private industry, you get Social Security. In government, you get their own plan, whether it's federal, state, or local. And often, when you retire, one goes against the other. It's like they call it, I believe it's a Social Security windfall. They're trying to change that. DeVita's going to talk about that. She's also going to get into the PRO Act and more. DeVita Russell will be our second guest right here on the show we call America's Workforce. The PRO Act, you should know this by now. Hopefully you should know this. That's the Protect the Right to Organize Act. Transformational bill that would rewrite labor law, giving workers a fair chance against their bosses. It would do things like outlaw right to work, make it easier to get a first contract after organizing. It would help workers. Bottom line, it'll help workers, and we need a whole lot of help for workers. Well, there's some polling out. It was conducted by Vox and Data for Progress. And here's the breakdown. It shows that 27% of the respondents strongly support PRO. 32% somewhat support the bill, meaning you add the two together, 59%. That's what, 3 out of 5 of likely voters polled would support the bill. Only 29% oppose it. Now, when broken down by political party, 74% of Democrats, 58% of independents, and how about this, 40% of Republicans support the bill. Interesting. I'm surprised more Democrats didn't support it. 58%. That should be in at least in the 70s or 80s. But anyway, they also asked respondents about their thoughts on whether public sector unions should have bargaining rights, to which 68% of the respondents approved of allowing these workers to bargain and join a union. The pollsters also asked what their thoughts were on Biden's pro-union statement when he said, "America wasn't built by Wall Street. It was built by the middle class. And unions built the middle class." Remember that? That was in the State of the Union. "Unions," said Biden, "put power in the hands of workers. They level the playing field. They give you a stronger voice for your health, your safety, higher wages, protection from racial discrimination and sexual harassment. There should be no intimidation, no coercion, no threats, no anti-union propaganda. No employee should confront workers about their union preferences." Well, the poll found 65% of likely voters, including 60% of independents and 42% of Republicans, agreed with what Biden said. Only 28% disapproved. Interesting stuff. Since the start of the pandemic, healthcare workers have been bravely fighting COVID-19 while proving the best level of care for their patients. And the labor movement? The labor movement has been fighting tooth and nail to make sure these most crucial and frontline workers have the protection they need on the job. Last week, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, better known as OSHA, issued an emergency temporary standard that covers healthcare workers. We talked about that on the show in depth yesterday. In fact, there was a rally 2 days ago because what they did at the Labor Department did not cover all workers. And Richard Trumka, president of the Labor Federation, said the following, "While I am glad that the Biden administration has rejuvenated OSHA, we know these rules don't go far enough. We cannot be satisfied until we ensure every worker is safe on the job from COVID-19. Now, those rules cover healthcare workers. I get it. But what about those working in grocery stores? What about truck drivers? What about those flight attendants? I mean, people that are in constant contact with the public. It's important that they, too, be protected. And the Labor Department said, okay, yes, they should, but it's going to be on a voluntary basis. There's nothing binding there. That's wrong. That's wrong. So I'm glad Trumka, the Labor Federation, is speaking out on this, as he should, and so many labor leaders should, because clearly OSHA did not go far enough. OSHA under the guise of the Labor Department. So we must keep the pressure on. National Nurses United also speaking out on this. They say the move is an important step for safer healthcare settings. Comment here from their president, Zene Cortez, who's an RN. After more than a year of the Trump administration's refusal to require employers to provide enhanced infection control protections in healthcare settings, in the face of the worst pandemic in a century, this is a monumental message that will be held to account. The emergency temporary standard means new mandatory requirements for employers with penalties for those who violate the requirements. While the new rules only cover healthcare workers, the AFL-CIO and many of our affiliates have urged the administration to go further and provide an emergency temporary standard to protect all frontline workers. Hats off to National Nurses United there. All right, we have to take a break. Coming up next, our segment with The Nation magazine, Women and Why They Need the PRO Act.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyAndFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcasts. And that's also our Twitter handle, at AWF Union Podcasts. Let's go to line number one, and welcome to the show, Mindy Iser. And Mindy is one of the great writers, contributing writers, and she is a union organizer out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And she authored a really interesting article on why working women need the PRO Act. And the timing couldn't be better because there's new polling, as I just reported on this show, about how many Americans, Republicans and Democrats, want the PRO Act. And that's a good thing. Now, the PRO Act, just to reference what's going on, it did pass the House We've got three senators, two from Arizona, one in Virginia, that have yet to sign on. So we got 47 Democrats, and we get those other three, and we get rid of the filibuster. It's a done deal. So that being said, there's still a lot of work to do. Hey, Mindy, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's get into this story. You talked to Jeannie D'Angelo. Jeannie is a freelance illustrator, and I'm going to let you tell the story because this story is very common in America. She worked for a temp agency, and she continued to work for a temp agency, and she continued to work for a temp agency thinking that she was going to get hired full time. I'm going to let you pick it up from there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was completely floored hearing her story. She, it's very crazy. She lives in Philadelphia like me, Comcast headquarters. She applied for a job at Comcast. She went to the Comcast building to interview for the job. She was offered the job. All of this was with a Comcast employee at Comcast. Very, like, normal job interview. But then she was sent to a temp agency to actually do her hiring paperwork. And so she thought to herself, oh, I guess this is a temp to hire position. I'll be temp for a few months, and then they'll hire me on instead of, like, you know, being on probation for 3 months. Maybe you're temp for 3 months, essentially a similar thing. But no, she worked at Comcast for 4 years, but she was technically only employed by the temp agency for 4 years. And she told me that many of her coworkers in her department were in the exact same situation. And it's a way for Comcast and other giant corporations to, you know, cut costs because they're basically doing their payroll through this temp agency. And so they're not paying for any benefits at all, including health care, retirement, time off, nothing. And then if there are any workplace issues, they're not liable because her employer is the temp agency, not Comcast. And I was just totally shocked by the story. And you're right, it's so common.
And I'm reading, what is it, 16 million workers in the country, and this goes back to 2019, 16 million workers had temporary contract employment. That's a pretty significant number, is it not?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, the future of work is changing. It's true. And I think people talk about this a lot. But that means that we need to change with it and our labor laws need to change with it as well.
Now, did Jeannie go to her bosses over there? Well, they were actually her bosses. The temp agency was a boss. But did she go to the Comcast people and say, hey, what's going on here? I thought I was going to be working here full time with benefits. Did that ever happen?
You know, I'm not sure, so I can't answer that. But I will say two things. One, like I said, most of the people in her department were in the exact same boat. So yeah. I think she could have possibly assumed, well, this is just how it is. And then two, this is another reason why we need the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. When you ask your employer really anything about the conditions of your employment, that really raises red flags to them that you are a troublemaker, that you are someone uh-huh. who works not just out of the kindness of your heart, but because you need money to live, which obviously is all of us, and that, you know, you could be an instigator with organizing your colleagues. And so doing something like that alone, is it can actually be very dangerous for your job.
Now, Jeannie was not aware of the PRO Act, and she was informed of what it would entail. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah, so this was many years ago that she worked at Comcast. So she had left that job because she actually found full-time employment with benefits where her employer was actually willing to hire her on, not as a
good for her
temporary worker. Yeah, exactly. But when she learned about the PRO Act a few months ago, she thought about her experience at Comcast and wondered how it would have affected her.
And obviously, she's got to be a happy camper that there's legislation like that. Now, your story, you get into the ABC test, and I would like to hear your comments on that, because this goes back some years, and how pro would determine a worker's classification. And this is such a big issue in America, worker misclassification. And I'm hearing under Marty Walsh in the Labor Department that this is one of his priorities to really get into how workers are like Jeannie, that are actually being mistreated and misclassified on the job. So let's talk about this ABC test. Now, Pro would kind of use that ABC test, and if you can explain the ABC test, go ahead.
Totally. The ABC test has been really vilified by the right wing and by employers, but really all it does is it's a test that stipulates that a worker must be considered an employee and not an independent contractor unless the employer can satisfy three different conditions. And so those conditions are, number one, that the worker is free from the control of the company. Number two, that the worker performs work that is outside the company's usual scope of business. And number three, that the worker has their own business that provides a similar service to other clients. So an example of someone who is not an employee in this situation could be a independent contractor who owns their own plumbing business, and they are doing plumbing for Comcast, which doesn't do plumbing. You know,
right.
Comcast doesn't offer plumbing services, and they're only doing this plumbing service for a short period of time, and they own their own plumbing business. But in Jeannie's case, if you are doing data entry at Comcast, and Comcast sets your working hours and sets your working conditions, and you basically work for Comcast in all but name, then you are an employee and you should be treated as such.
Mm-hmm. And I take it a number of states have used the ABC test. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the ABC test originated in Maine a long time ago, but the ABC test kind of rose to infamy in California because of their Assembly Bill 5, which it's very controversial there because of AB 5, not actually the ABC test. It's not something I know a ton about, but what the ABC test does and what the PRO Act does is just give these workers the right to organize as workers. It doesn't do, It doesn't take anything away from them. And so we're getting a ton of pushback from really well-off independent contractors who, by the way, are not the norm. I think the median income for independent contractors is like $30,000 a year. They're not the norm, and they're saying that the PRO Act will, you know, impinge upon their freedom, their livelihood, but it's just a falsehood. All the PRO Act does is give you the right to organize if you want to. You don't have to.
Yeah.
There's no gun to your head saying you have to form a union or else.
Mindy, you have to leave it to the right wing to confuse workers on the issues, right? That's the way they work.
Oh, exactly. Yes, 100%. And that's their playbook. They just want to confuse the issue, make people feel scared, like they're going to lose everything, like everything's changing. You know, it's the same thing in a typical union campaign. If you can't scare people away from the union, you can confuse them, you can tire them out. And that's what they're trying to do with the PRO Act.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of California, we cover that case, and there was that Proposition 22. That's and I'll tell you, the gig companies, we're talking like Uber and Lyft, spent, oh my gosh, I think $220 million to bring that down. And there's like 55 million people in the country that work in the gig economy. And they're not getting the benefits that they deserve. It's just not right. Mindy, I got to take a quick break here. Mindy Iser joining us on our live line. This is our segment we do each and every month from The Nation magazine. She's one of the contributing writers. She's also a union organizer in Philadelphia. We're talking about why working women need the PRO Act. Later in the show, Davida Russell, she'll also be talking about the PRO Act. She comes to us from the North Coast Area Labor Federation. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes La Una to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. Don't forget, we're available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute and do this. Sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis. We do this show Monday through Friday. You can access it anytime. And eventually give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. Mindy Iser joining us on our live line right now. This is our segment we do each and every month from The Nation magazine. Great publication. Talk about a progressive publication that's been around a long time, since 1865. Working Women Need the PRO Act. Mindy is a union organizer out of Philadelphia. We told you the story about Jeannie D'Angelo working at a temp firm, trying to get full-time work. Went on for 4 years. Thankfully, she found full-time work at another business. She was trying to get a job at Comcast. Your article, you talk about how prevalent this problem is with independent contractors, but there's a lot of people, and you zero in primarily on women, that are speaking out. And this is, I guess this is part of the right-wing campaign where they place op-eds, go on radio shows and say, hey, I like being an independent contractor. I don't want to be a boss. I don't want a full-time gig. I want to take care of my kids. And I guess I get some of that. But can you speak to that? Because isn't this part of the campaign to discredit the PRO Act? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's interesting is that they point out legitimate problems about the American workforce. It's hard to be a woman in the workforce. The workforce is sexist. There's a lot of racism in the workforce. It's impossible almost to be a mother and to feel like you're doing a good job at your paid job and at your work at home. Like, those are real issues that these women are zeroing in on when they say that they, you know, like the flexibility of independent contracting. But the real issue is we need to fix work in this country, not make everyone independent contractors, which is really what these people are trying to do. And they have a political agenda. And that's what's really kind of insidious about it, because they sort of act like they're just these concerned women concerned about what's going to happen to their work as independent contractors and what the PRO Act is going to do, when really they're being funded by these like right-wing organizations, and they're just using these real issues that women care about and using, you know, language that the left can recognize about, you know, sexism and things like that, and twisting it around in this really cynical, nasty way.
Yeah, one of the organizations you reference in your article is Americans for Prosperity. That's the organization that the Koch brothers have been running for years, correct?
Yeah, and as if they care about women or workers or women workers.
Mindy, if you don't mind, can we talk more about Americans for Prosperity in your article? Because you reference, well, there's a couple of women in your article, Veronica, for one, an undocumented drywall finisher in Texas. And there's a woman by the name of Norma, and this is an undocumented painter in Arizona. And in her case, she was sexually assaulted by a boss, and wages were stolen from her. Can you give us some more details on this part?
Yeah. I felt really honored to speak with both of those women in the construction industry. It's a very difficult industry for women, especially undocumented women. And I was connected with them through the Painters Union, who have been pushing for the PRO Act really, really hard. They've been leading on a lot of the national work. And that's because, like the women that I talked to and so many other women and so many other workers would benefit so much from the PRO Act. And what's really interesting is, like, both of those women had horrible experiences. I think they were both sexually harassed at some work site or another by their bosses. And yet, they have no boss because they're independent contractors. So how does that work? How is it that your boss, who controls your time, who controls if you get paid or not at the end of the week, who controls the job site, how are they not your boss?
Right, right. I'm glad you talked to, you know, you compared it with these women here. They're probably some of them non-union, and then those who are in unions, because you point out in your article that hourly wages for women in unions are 23% higher than for non-union women. And obviously, if you're in a union, you're probably working at a full-time job, so you're getting the benefits that people that are working part-time or independent contractors that are not getting. So that's a good point in your story here. Mindy, if you don't mind, there's a big change, a sea change in America going on right now. As you know, COVID-19 has changed so many parts of the American workforce. I mean, we've seen the so-called essential workers, frontline workers, grocery workers, meat packers, and a lot of these, I mean, they're working next to each other. They got the virus. Many of them are not with us today. Those that survived or didn't get it are speaking out, especially, and they're trying to organize in unions because they didn't have the protections. I'm wondering if this is a moment in history here, because, you know, I reference the poll numbers for the PRO Act, the Protect the Right to Organize. There's a lot of people that want labor protections in America today, and I think COVID brought that out. How do you see that happening down the road? Do you think this is a game changer? I mean, you've been covering unions for a long time. You're a union organizer. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there is a revolt against minimum wage jobs. And I think we're seeing that. It's 100% true. You know, I can't fortune tell, but I will say that unions have a 65% approval rating. I think the highest it's been in decades. People like unions. People want to be in unions. But when you compare that approval rating to union density in the country, which is below 11%, there's a huge gap. And the PRO Act is what will actually help fill that gap. And I've been heartened to see that employers are being forced to respond to this, like, you know, worker revolt, essentially, with higher wages. That is awesome and amazing. But I think, and you're seeing it at UPS where they're raising wages, you're seeing it at Amazon. But the issue, I think, for organizing in these places is that the turnover problem is really, really just a huge challenge. In some of these workplaces, you have over 100% turnover. It's almost impossible to organize in the traditional sense in workplaces with turnover like that. And I think that's going to be the real issue, because it's, you know, it's not just about raising wages. It's about union rights and making it easy and not a multi-year process for people to form a union when they want to. And that's really the importance of the PRO Act.
I'm so glad you brought up the turnover part. And for the life of me, I can't figure that out. If you raise the wages and you provide better working conditions, you're not going to experience that turnover in places like Walmart and Amazon. I mean, I was just reading a story about Amazon recently. Their turnover rate after like 3 years is like 100%. I mean, why would you bother to train all these workers knowing that they're going to be gone in a few months or a year or two? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm just hoping, and I'm seeing there's areas around the country where wages are rising. And I know there's some pushback. They're saying, oh, my God, you're going to create inflation here. But you know what? You can't support a family on $7.25 an hour or $8.25 an hour. I mean, in $15 an hour is difficult in some parts of the country, especially in Philadelphia. Okay, let's use that as an example. How easy is it, or how hard is it to live on $15 an hour in Philadelphia, Mindy?
I mean, if our minimum wage was $15 an hour in Philadelphia, that would be a vast improvement, and it still would not be enough. We are the poorest big city in the country. Our minimum wage is still $7.25. The city can't set its own minimum wage. We are, you know, the state won't let us. And our people are really, 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 really suffering.
So you have one of those legislatures there where they say you can't do things on your own to raise wages. We're not going to let you do that. And that's happening all around America. But the lawmakers that are doing that, they're making a pretty decent wage. Just keep that in mind. All right, Mindy, thank you so much for joining us here on America's Workforce. Mindy Iser, contributing writer to The Nation magazine, union organizer in Philadelphia. Again, do check out this article, Working Women Need the PRO Act. And this is an issue we here at the show are going to continue to hammer down. We still got to get those three senators to sign off on it and hopefully get rid of that filibuster and move America forward, because workers need the help. Mindy, you take care. Stay safe. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Davita Russell on behalf of the North Coast Area Labor Federation.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to our next guest, which would be Davita Russell on behalf of the North Coast Area Labor Federation, just want to mention over the weekend, those enhanced federal unemployment benefits, including primarily the $300 federal supplement to the weekly unemployment checks, ended for nearly a half million workers in four states, all Republican-led states. This happened on Saturday, and we're talking, let's see, Mississippi, Iowa, Alaska, and Missouri, and the governors were saying, oh, there's jobs out there. You guys are just sitting on your butts, and you're collecting money from the government, so we're going to stop handing out that money. And Biden has not been very vocal on this issue. Right now, about half of America, I think it's 24, 25 states are doing it. State of Ohio is going to end their benefits, I believe, on June 26. That being said, let's go to our live line right now. Davita Russell, as I indicated, joining us. Davita, welcome back. Thanks for joining us once again.
Well, hello. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm good. Pat Gallagher, I know, is busy. I think he's at a convention. He said Davita's ready and willing to do it. And I got to drive people to your website. Holy smoke. DavitaForCH.com. When do you sleep? That's my question.
Most people ask me that.
My gosh. State President of the Coalition for Labor Union Women, Vice President of the Ohio AFL-CIO, State Executive Board Member of the Ohio Association of Public School Employees, Executive Secretary, Treasurer, North Coast Area Labor Federation. My God, a substitute teacher. Well, I guess you got some downtime now. You're not driving buses. We're in the summer recess, so you got a little breathing room now.
A little bit.
And here's something I didn't realize. You were helping on the Biden-Harris transition team. Is that right?
Yes.
So what did you do? How did you help out?
Well, it was basically meetings because, you know, we're in the pandemic. So it was virtual meetings. We were gathering and talking about the transition far as with the HUD Secretary Marsha Fudge's new position. Far as what we needed to see, what we wanted to see regarding HUD and development in rural and distress areas, then given our opinions and ideals on how that transition should work and what they needed to do to make HUD a more viable part of government for especially African American and first ring suburbs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people need help on housing. The housing market is out of control right now, and unfortunately, people can't afford the homes that they're building. That's the problem in America today. I don't think we've talked to you since Biden was in office. A little different change in attitude, don't you think?
Most definitely.
Okay, there's a couple things we got to get into, and one of them is the next senator for the state of Ohio. Rob Portman announced that he is not going to run for re-election, and that's giving an opportunity to get, I guess, another Democrat in there. And it looks like the Ohio AFL-CIO, of course, your vice president of, has endorsed Tim Ryan. Let's talk about that. I know Tim. Tim's been on the show. I'd like to hear your point of view.
Oh, Tim is fabulous. I've been on him for many, many years, you know, as a laborer. Person and organizer and activist where used to go to Youngstown a lot to try to pull union people together. Tim has always been supportive of workers. He has always been vocal on all issues when it came to supporting workers and just living wage, treating people right in the workplace, even just people in general. He's just an advocate for workers, people's rights, civil rights, just all kinds of issues. He is perfect for this position, and I will be rooting and helping him get elected to that seat because we definitely need someone who is going to be very supportive of unions and just people in general.
Right. Yeah, I know. We're just talking in the first segment about the PRO Act. And Portman, I know, did not sign on, but Sherrod Brown has. And I know Tim would sign on to that. And with the support of the Ohio AFL-CIO, that could be a reality. Good stuff. Good stuff here. Don't you think this is kind of early?
He did a great piece on the PRO Act in Washington. He stood up and he gave them hell regarding the PRO Act. And it was fabulous.
Yeah,
great to see that someone actually stood up and just told it like it was.
Now, I want to talk about the timing on this, because this election won't be until, and I know there's going to be a primary, but the election for the next senator won't be till November of next year, 2022. Is this the timing on this not premature, or just trying to get a running start? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it's trying to get a running start. Nowadays with elections, you have to almost start way ahead of time because of so much money is involved in running and being trying to get elected. I don't, you know, sometimes we're going to have to do something with putting some caps on some of this, because every day and average people are not going to be able to afford to even run for an office if they choose to try to represent their city or country or state, because it takes so much money to try to run. So you have to get out in front of it to try to raise money, let people know you're going to run, so that, you know, you can be able to get donations and support before an election.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Ohio AFL-CIO consists of 1.1 million union members and retirees, and we're talking affiliations through 41 international unions, 1,500 local unions. So that's a pretty good jump start, in my opinion. Pretty good jump start. You mentioned elections, voting. It's starting to scare me. Ohio has not really moved forward with any so-called voter suppression laws like we're seeing in Florida and Georgia, but we're on our way. I know there's a couple of proposals out there. I'd like to get your take on what's happening in the state of Ohio and around America. This is a nationally podcast show, as you now know. And I'm just wondering what Devita Russell has to say about, let's talk about this For the People Act, which did pass the House. And I know the Republicans aren't too happy. It seems like they'd like to restrict voting. What's your thoughts on that one, Devita?
You know, for the life of me, I can't even understand why anyone would want to restrict anyone's right to vote, number one. I mean, we went through this many, 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 many years ago and overcame it. And voting had been extended and worked out. Actually, in my opinion, I think voting should be a national, almost national holiday. Nobody should have to work on that day. Everybody should be able to go vote. Should be no restrictions, period. That is democracy. That is people exercising their voice, their right to a active government. And to silence people's voices in that arena is asinine to me. And Republicans and the people who are trying to silence the voice of people is, to me, it's around cheating, because they want to be able to have their people in. It's around a fear of people of color who are predicted in 2024 to be one of the highest voting population. They are afraid of what they're doing, because if they were doing right by the people, they shouldn't have to even worry about voters' rights, because you wouldn't have to worry about people voting for you, because people wouldn't have no reason not to vote for you if you was treating people fairly and right and having equal pay. And you know, it's just people want to survive and live. People are not trying to be millionaires, even though people would love to be. But people, everyday people, just want to be able to be happy. They want to be able to raise their families. They don't want to have to work two and three jobs just to be able to survive. They want to be able to send their children to college without being in debt for the rest of their lives. They want to be able to be seniors and retire and actually have the American dream that has always been promised but never achievable. So people retire and never can retire, because you always have to go back to work because you can't afford to live. The housing market, people can't afford to buy homes. People can't afford to rent homes. You know, it's totally ridiculous. So they're afraid that, you know, what they're trying to do to everyday people to keep the haves from the have-nots. So they figure that, hey, you know what? We'll just make it harder for people to vote, so we can just do whatever we want to, whenever we want, and however we want, so that the people stay poor, the rich stay richer, and we can continue to put our necks on their backs.
The most egregious part of the voter suppression drive is the one, and it started in Georgia, where if you give somebody a bottle of water waiting in line to vote, you can go to jail. You can be cited for that. That's a little over the top, right?
Very much so. Very much so. It's just inhumane, truly. I mean, people in Georgia, it could be at 90 degrees. People could be wanting to pass out, and you talk about you give someone a bottle of water? Come on.
Davita, one more issue here. We got a couple minutes left, and that's Social Security. And this addresses people that may have worked for a local or state or federal government, and they've also worked in the private sector. And when it comes time to retire, you could be docked some of the money that's entitled to you. And I guess this was a law that was passed in the 80s. Can you explain this to our listeners?
Sure. Which most people don't understand other than public employees. If you're a public employee and if you've worked in the private sector at one point in time, and for some reason, for example, like myself, in the 70s, we had Reaganomics. And when Reaganomics hit, all of the private jobs dried up. And a lot of openings were public employees' jobs. So a lot of people had to transition into public employment jobs. And public employees' jobs pay less money than the private sector, but they have better benefits because it's like a balancing act between the private and the public sector.
Right.
But not saying that the private sector don't have benefits. They have good benefits as well. But the public employees usually have a little bit more benefits because they make less money on the hour. So when you just choose to retire because it's a public pension, which you pay into yourself, mind you, you pay into yourself out of your pay. Once you retire, you are not entitled to the Social Security that you paid into when you were in the private sector. Once you retire, you are offset by 2/3 of that money. So if you worked in the private sector for 10, 15 years and paid into Social Security, and then you go into the public sector and you worked your 30 years there, you retire, you think you're going to be able to get the Social Security for those 15 years you worked and you put into, you don't get it. You can be offset by 2/3. You'd be docked. And if you have a husband that worked in the private sector and something happens to him, guess what? You don't get that money either. So it's a lot of people who are hurting out here. And they talk about the offset. The offset is for people who make more money on the dollar. The windfall is for the majority of the people who make the least amount of money on the dollar, on the hour. So some people are talking about reforming the offset, but they're not talking about the windfall. And the windfall really affects more people than the offset for the simple fact you have people like school employees who are making just a little bit more than minimum wage, and classified workers in the schools or janitors or healthcare workers and things like that who make less money, that's going to affect them. So when they retire, guess what? They end up having to go back to work, or that's why you find a lot of people are working well into their 80s because they can't afford to retire.
Surprise, surprise. I'll tell you, that's an issue we definitely have to stay on. Davita, we're just about out of time here, but that's definitely an issue that we want to carry on for other shows. Davita Russell, councilwoman in Cleveland Heights, up for re-election, I might add. You can find more at davitaforch.com. I'll let you go back to one of your many jobs, okay? You take care and stay safe, all right?
Thank you so much, Fletch, and you have a wonderful day.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the latest from the American Legion and the Alliance for Retired Americans. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.